بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الطهور شطر الإيمان، وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله، in the last two or three weeks we have discussed water and using water for the purification of impurities, and there were various masail that we discussed there. Now moving forward, today's discussion is on istinja. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, this narration comes in Abu Dawud Sharif. So one person teased him and said to him, "Allamakum nabiyukum kulla shayin hatta al-khira'ah." That a person like you, some say he was over 200 years old, quite aged when he passed away. So we can well imagine what was his age when he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he teased him and he said, "Allamakum nabiyukum." Your Nabi has to teach you. In other words, this youngster has to teach you everything. An old man like you, he even has to teach you how to go to toilet. So Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu didn't take it as an insult. He said, "Yes, I'm very, very proud." And then he started enumerating all the teachings of Islam when it comes to going to toilet, to prove to this person that, you see, these teachings, you can't just make it up. And you don't have these teachings. Today in this modern world, when we're traveling sometimes, then we'll see people that are supposed to be advanced and educated, they will walk in the toilet bare feet and they'll come out of the toilet bare feet. No water, no care for purity, for tahara, for cleanliness. Some of these people, when they see the beauty of Islam, they compliment on the purity of Islam. And unfortunately, we are the ones that look up to them when they're supposed to be looking up to us. So nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half of our iman. Purity is half of iman. And our purity is in everything. From our clothing, to our articles that we use. In everything we'll ensure and we'll make sure that it must be clean, park and pure. And when we go to toilet also, then we find that there is so much of emphasis that when you go to toilet, that we must be absolutely clean and pure in the toilet. Clean and pure in our manners, in our behavior also. Not only the physical act of washing off the impurity from our bodies, but how we go into the toilet, how we conduct in the toilet, how we come out of the toilet. Through and through, purity is a teaching of Islam. So the first thing is, let us look at the hadith that admonish against a person messing himself with urine in the toilet, and if a person is neglectful in this regard. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر عذاب القبر من البول. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, most of the punishment in the grave is due to urine, and a person not being careful regarding the urine splashes, and therefore the wuzu and the salah and ibadat not gaining acceptance because of being impure. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tanazzahu min al-bawl, fa inna 'ammata 'adhab al-qabr min al-bawl." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, refrain from urine, being soiled with urine splashes, for indeed most of the punishment meted out to most people in the grave will be on account of urine, being unmindful regarding urine splashes and impurities. What a beautiful teaching. Person goes to the public toilet, urinals there, urinals. And now, naturally we understand as men, how will a person ensure that his clothes are pure, his body is pure if he's using a urinal? And immediately after that, no cleansing, and he puts it back into his pants. And then the drops of urine is definitely going to mess him, it's going to mess his pants. So in the 21st century, in this modern world, You find Allah Ta'ala gave Islam 1400 years ago, gave us this level of purity, which these people also don't have. So it is a subtle point, especially for our youngsters. We shouldn't ape, admire, and follow these type of people. Our elders always say that we are chasing after people, we are aping, emulating, dying and crying for people that are the enemies of Islam, that don't even know how to make istinja. Here's a glaring example. Those same people got no morals. In our country, we drive past and we see how often, sometimes on the bridge, sometimes on the roadside, man will stop his car and he'll just urinate. He'll stand and urinate. What teaching of Islam Allah Pa gave us, that firstly a man won't stand and urinate. Then also we will hide away from the eyes of people. We won't just urinate in the open. And in some places, it's gone to this level that even the woman will urinate in the public also. They'll also urinate in the public. And we know people that drink from America and the UK, open it comes in the media, such a famous person, because of drinking, urinating on themselves, drunk, lying drunk in the road, blue eyes, blonde hair, very beautiful, but they got no deen. I mean, they got no deen, they got no tahara, they got no purity. Look at what Allah Ta'ala gave us, what Islam has given us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, refrain from urine splashes. For indeed, this will be the first thing that the servant will be taken to account for in the grave. On one occasion, famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by two graves, and the inmates of these graves were being punished. And he said that they are not being punished for something that was major, meaning difficult for them to abstain from. One of them would not refrain from urine splash. For the other, he used to carry tales by taking stories from this side to that side and causing mischief and corruption among the people. So, not being careful of urine splashes. When a person goes to the toilet, obviously a man has to sit down. Sometimes the kuffar would taunt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, method of using the toilet. They used to say, look at him, he urinates like a woman urinates, he sits and urinates. So this is not something for us to be concerned about. A man will have to sit and urinate. As I said, we should not become influenced by Western norms and Western customs. I was in a certain place and there was a complaint that came. And the complaint was, Maulana, few things. Number one, sometimes the brothers are coming here. The door is open. They're standing and they're urinating in the toilet. And where's this place? It's not like a mall. It's a musalla. Person is coming to perform salah. He leaves the door open. Everybody can see what he's doing. And he's standing and he's urinating. So when Allah Ta'ala has given us deen, then this deen is not just there for it to be in the books. Allah Ta'ala has given us this deen for us to practice. Sometimes we feel, okay, I'm not standing, but for my child, tell him, no, you carry on, you do it. So when it comes to our children also, the boys also, a lot of times we find that fathers are taking their sons and they're going for programs, etc. And then for whatever reason, they make them stand and urinate. So we should make sure that we make our children sit and make them urinate. I was so impressed. You know, when you're going to Joburg, you get that midway stop halfway. And I was so impressed how particular one father was. In the toilet, the wuzu khana, etc. is there. You can overhear how the father is educating his child and making sure he's using the toilet correctly, sitting and urinating, making istinja, using water, and thereafter cleaning himself properly, then washing the hands. So it is something to admire. Sometimes the non-Muslims, just by that, that one sunnah becomes a means of them being drawn towards Islam, how we practice our deen. So we should not stand and urinate, we should make sure that we sit and urinate, firstly. Secondly, we have to make sure that when urinating, then the private part is not facing the body. Sometimes it's a hot day, whatever, a person was perspiring. So he just sits and urinates, he doesn't realize the direction of the flow of the urine is coming back towards him or on his thigh or somewhere. So a person, it's part of our deen, he has to physically hold his private part with his left hand, direct it into the bowl of the pan or into the pan. So make sure it's away from the body. So these type of mishaps, if it's happening, then a person is guilty. To make sure that it is facing to, not towards his body, it is facing away from the body. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is that the drops of the urine. They say many men have urine incontinence, right? That urine, the few drops continue to flow. Some people have a genuine problem, all the time they have a problem. And some people, or generally, if a person doesn't clean himself properly, then that urine, few drops will continue to flow. So for this, what is required is istibra. Istibra means, before istinja, one should ensure that all the drops of urine come out. Whether a person has a habit of coughing, or a person has the habit of walking around, applying tissue to the area, walking around for a little while, and then going to toilet. One of my friends, he had this habit. When he uses the toilet, he can't go and just make wuzu and perform salah. He'll have to put some tissue in that area, he'll walk around a bit. Some people cough a bit. So whatever a person does and works for him, well and good. But some doctors have advised, and it works very well. Whoever we discussed it with, whoever has practiced on it, works very, very well. They say that, you see, like the kitchen sink. So there is some urine that is behind the scrotum from the bladder coming down and it comes up to the shaft of the penis. So if a person uses the left hand before touching any other part, uses the left hand between the back and the scrotum, if he just massages a little forward after urinating, just massages that area towards the front, from the back towards the front, then you will find often that about 2, 3, or 4 drops will come out. And that will help in expelling those drops that are inside. It will make it much easier to expel those drops. So that is very important when it comes to avoiding urine splashes. Otherwise, what will happen is few things. One is a person will come out, waswasa will trouble him, doubts will trouble him. Some people have genuine waswasa. Mufti Sahib advises, if a person have waswasa, every time he's feeling like he's getting impure, he's just getting a feeling, then he must wear a lungi. So whenever that waswasa comes, immediately he must go to the toilet and check if really any drops of urine came out. And if nothing came out, then he must ignore that feeling. Because shaitan is playing with him. The hadith says, shaitan plays with a person's private part. Sometimes during salah, makes him feel like he became impure. So that is one. Also, if urine is coming out, really, 1 or 2 drops, and after a person made wudu, then it will mean that his wudu is not valid. Then his salah is not valid. And then thirdly, if it's a significant amount, even before he made wudu, if it's a significant amount, as we discussed in the previous weeks, then his clothes will be impure to the point where his salah won't be valid. Although his wudu is in order, everything is in order, but because his clothing is not in order, then his salah won't be valid. So this is important to take note of when it comes to the urine drops. In one hadith it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to a place which was protected from the gazes of people. Nobody could see him. We spoke about that. One should not use such a place to urinate where it is an inconvenience to others. If you're not using a toilet when traveling, then it shouldn't be at places where people walk or where people sit. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, refrain from the 2 great causes of earning curses of people. So they asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the great causes of earning the curses of people? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, relieving oneself on the pathways, or in places where people take shade. If a person is forced to relieve himself in an open field or a place, for example, we're traveling, camping, whatever, then look for a suitable place where you will not be seen and the ground must be soft so that the urine does not splash onto you. Here also it's noteworthy to mention that our sunnah toilet is the eastern toilet or the low pan toilet. And many youngsters still now, they don't know how to use that toilet. When you ask them, you know how to use the eastern low pan, Maulana, we don't know. You have to teach them. So it's good to teach our children, because that is such a toilet that if you know how to use it, even if you're camping in a field, you just need a spade and you need a parda. You got a parda and you got a spade. One of our brothers now went for Jama'ah to Nigeria. So he says there's two types of toilets they have there in Nigeria. So one is a number one toilet and one is a number two toilet. So he said the number one toilet, Monana, is like how you have your gutter drain. There's just a drain like that, number one. And he said there's no door also. So he said the brothers that have two-piece kurta, so they know very well how to use that toilet, because the back piece is like a parda. So when they're using the number one toilet, then they're just lifting the front piece and removing the undergarments, but the back piece of the kurta, that is like a parda. So nevertheless, a person should make sure that we try to learn how to use the low pan toilet and make sure that it is such a place that doesn't splash back onto us. For example, if it's like a mountainous area and it's very rocky, person is urinating now on a rock, for example, and that rock is going to splash and it's going to mess person's feet, his shoes, his socks, everything is going to get messed. So that is why they're saying look for a place where that won't happen. And so teach our children also how to use the low pan toilet. Actually now in the Talimi board, they are advising that in a madrasa, they say some madrasas, they give the children two pants. For example, they'll wear their normal pants and they give them now like a dark color pants and say, right, toilet, show us now, use this outer pants, the dark color pants, how you'll lower it and how you'll use the toilet. They're teaching them. I know some people, they just couldn't use the low pan toilet. And they just couldn't use a toilet. If they go to the ishtima, they can't use the toilet. And they can't use anyone's toilet besides their home toilet. To the extent that this person was somewhere, passed away now, Allah forgive him. He was somewhere and he needed to use the toilet. So he had to go all the way home. And he was so desperate to use the toilet, he forgot the key. So he went all the way home. So he bust the glass of the door just to get access to the toilet, cut his hand. He got a fine on the way also, racing towards the house. All that trouble. So what happens is when we condition ourselves too much into this, then a person finds it difficult now to come out of it. So our children, mashallah, we must educate them, inshallah, we must teach them how to use the low pan toilet. And we also, even if we don't have it in our homes, sometimes with the niyat of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we use it. And I tell you honestly, if a person, a lot of people have certain stomach issues, the person is used to the low pan toilet, he'll find much ease and relief in using the low pan when it comes to passing stools especially, because it's the natural way. It's the natural way. Now they're coming out with that squatty toilet and all these other things, all these things that they're selling now to just for a person to raise his legs a bit. Actually, original sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to squat. And in the kitabs I was looking, they talk about squatting and they talk about leaning to the left. I was looking at Nur al-Ida, some other kitabs this morning. Leaning towards the left side, which is often something that we forget. Even if you're sitting on the high pan, for whatever reason, we have to use it, then a person leans to the left. Leans a bit down. You find it much easier for a person to pass stool. Some people have this problem. They find it, they are straining themselves. So if you use the low pan toilet, you find there's much more relief and much more ease in using the low pan toilet, inshallah. Last one or two. etiquettes, cover your head and feet before entering the toilet. Even at home, you must check the children are covering their head and feet. It's sad that sometimes our girls also, the women, they don't cover their heads and go to toilet. It's sad. They're not covering their heads when they're eating, and they're not covering their heads when they're using the toilet. There's one hadith that says, why should we cover our heads when we're in the toilet? One is we read Bismillah before going to toilet. That Bismillah is a barrier between us and Shaitan. And why cover the head? Because it's a place of Shayateen. It's a place of Shayateen. It's a protection to cover our heads. Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, I remember very clearly, vividly, they always have 2-3 minutes sunnats before the Isha Salah. And he mentioned this. He said, cover the head, cover the feet before entering the toilet. And then he mentioned this, and I won't forget. He said, that deen that teaches us to cover our head when going to toilet, how can we then come to the masjid with our heads uncovered? He said, that deen, there's hadith here also. Alhamdulillah, every etiquette you got a hadith. That deen that teaches us to cover the head when going to toilet, how can we dare to come to the masjid of Allah Ta'ala without that level of respect of covering the head? And the feet also. Make sure, especially the children, they also fulfill this etiquette. I tell the children sometimes, you know, you can be groggy, you can be sleepy, you can be tired, you just want to rush in and rush out, but make sure you cover. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Continue next week, inshallah. Subhanallah.